magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, March 17th, 2025. We're continuing with our series on Mondays through the book of Exodus, as preached by Pastor Jason Epperson of CU Church. And I trust a blessing is in store for you as you listen. Here's Pastor Jason Epperson giving us a bit of a recap and sharing life lessons learned for us all out of Exodus chapter 19.
We're in Exodus chapter 19. We have journeyed with this family called the family of Abraham, which eventually became a nation called the nation of Israel. We have Moses as the leader. Last week, Jethro. Remember Jethro? I like Jethro. I like the name Jethro. But the reality is in this journey, what we see is God delivering his people. And we're coming to a spot now where, and if you remember the first week I said this, is when you look at Genesis and Exodus, it is God showing the world who he is. It is basically God trying to allow people to know, this is who I am, and this is who you are. That's Genesis and Exodus. You fast forward, and then you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You remember the Gospels that tells us who Jesus is. It's the full manifestation. It's the full representation of who God is. And then in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit comes down and it teaches us who the Holy Spirit is as he dwells inside of us. But this Genesis and Exodus, it really, really matters because there's an establishment sometimes, especially today in our culture, that maybe sometimes we don't see the importance of Jesus. Maybe sometimes we don't see the importance of Jesus because we don't know if there really is this thing called sin and we need grace. Or sometimes we don't see the importance of Jesus of recognizing he's holy, he's set apart, and the only way I get there is with Jesus. But today in this passage, this is God like loving his family enough to teach them who he is. So we're going to start there, and it says this, on the third new moon, or the third month, so they've been in the wilderness now for 3 months. Quick recap on the wilderness, you with me? You better be with me, here we go. In the wilderness, Moses comes in. The Israelites are enslaved in Egypt, right? You guys can nod your heads. That's the point, you nod your heads, okay? So they're enslaved in Egypt. They walk into Egypt. Moses says what? Let my people go. Pharaoh's like, no. Then God shows himself in the 10 signs or 10 plagues. And those 10 signs and 10 plagues are a direct assault against what? False gods. The Egyptian gods in which they follow, God flexes on them and says, no, I'm greater than your false deities. And that's why he does the specific things he does. It's not without purpose. Well, at the end of that, what happens? There's this death angel that comes through and the firstborn child who they believed was a god. Guess what? The death angel passes over and the Passover is born. The next morning, all the Jewish people wake up and all the slaves wake up to put blood over their door because blood saves us. Blood saves us. Then they were told they should leave and they were given. Remember this part? This is crazy. Then the Egyptians gave them their money and their things and their possessions so they would leave. So they left not only with being saved from death, but grace to move forward. And they were once slaves. They were once condemned. They were once dead. The Lord passed over and now they are free. And they walked out in freedom. When they got out in freedom, they came to the Red Sea. Remember, cloud by day, fire by night. God showed himself. He shaded them in the summer, which we're going to need some shade at some point. Right now, we just like the fire. We like the sun. But God is with us. He brings them out. He parts the Red Sea. And then he does what with the Red Sea? He swallows the Egyptian army, the largest army known to man at this time. God is once again saying, there is no army. There is no false god. There is nothing in this world that is greater than me. He is showing himself as God, as creator, as awesome. Now, guess what? He didn't do this just for the nation of Israel. He did this for all people. He desired the Egyptians and the Israelites to be saved. They find themselves in the wilderness. They get thirsty, right? They come to water. There's no water to drink. What happens? They throw a log in the water. The water becomes sweet. God takes sour water and makes it pure. Then they get thirsty again, and God takes water out of a rock. They get hungry. He brings manna. Basically, God is teaching them, and he's teaching us, I am your everything. If you depend on me, you are good. That's what we got to learn about God. And now they find themselves in this moment after the Amalekites attack them, right? Remember they attacked them? They killed a lot of their wounded children. And then the Amalekites fought the Israelites who were slaves, who had no swords really. But when Moses was praying and asking God for help, what happened? They won the victory. And then after that, they said these words, that God is our victory. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, and it's a big deal. So many times in our life, at least in my life, God takes water out of rocks and parts Red Seas, and I don't notice. But the days it's really hard for me and I ask him for help, man, I tell him thanks. And so they win this battle. And now we find themselves 3 months. They've been in the wilderness now for 3 months. They find themselves at the base of this mountain, the same mountain that Moses saw the burning bush. He would refer to it probably as the mountain of God because it's where God showed himself to him. And that's where we find him. They spend a year here, just so you know, they spend a year at the base of this mountain. And it says these words, on the third new moon after the people of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on that day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. They set out from Rephidim and came into the wilderness of Sinai and they encamped in the wilderness. There Israel encamped before the mountain. Verse 3, it says this, while Moses went up to God, the Lord called to him out of the mountain saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob. I underline Jacob in my Bible here. This is why. He doesn't call him the house of Abraham or calls him the house of Isaac. I think there's a reason. This is my opinion. I think the reason why he calls him the house of Jacob versus the house of Abraham and Isaac, which he could have called him any of the three, is because what have they just been doing? They've been shown the power, the majesty, the awesomeness of God, and they've been constantly rebellious and dumb. And Jacob's mindset was a little bit more rebellious, a little bit more mischievous. It wasn't quite as faithful as Abraham, wasn't quite as faithful as Isaac. So I think it's God saying, this is more like the house of Jacob, a weaker house. Does that make sense? But guess what? They're still in his house. But it's okay to say, hey, son, this ain't going real well. It goes on and says this, and Jacob, and tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you up on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. He's reminding them, remember we talked forever in the book of Exodus, is how big a deal it is for us to remember what God has done in your life. I've actually asked you guys as families and as singles to say, write down the things God has done in your life so you can remember, because the more we forget, the more anxiety and fear we have. But the more we remember what God has done, the more faith we have, the less anxiety and fear we have. And so in this moment, he says, I brought you out of Egypt. We talked about how he did that on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. In the Bible, it says eagle's wings all the time. And it's not because that they knew there was going to be this movie called Talladega Nights and I like my Jesus with angel wings. No, it wasn't that reason. The reason why he says eagle's wings is because eagles protect their young with their wings. You know, some people want to say that eagles like carry their baby eagles on their back. I don't think that's really true, but it'd be cool if they did. But what it does is if an eagle's being attacked, guess what an eagle does? It spreads its wings over the top of its nest to protect it. So the only way you can get to the young eagle is through the other one. The only way people are going to get to you is through God. When God sheltered the nation of Israel, when Egypt came after them, they had to go what? Through him. You got to go through me to get to my kids. Someone knocks on my door, someone breaks down my door and tries to get to my family. Hear me say this. I got at least one good wrestling match left in me. They got to go through me. Okay, they better pack a lunch. They're going to go through me. But that's what God is saying here is when I have chosen you and you are my people, which I'm looking at a room of people, listen to me. He has chosen you. You are his people and you live in fear in this world. Listen to me. They got to go through God before they get to you. Because you are surrounded by his wings. And then it says this, and brought you to myself. He doesn't deliver you to abandon him. He delivers you to abide in him. When you came out in the moment of your life, your Passover moment, we've talked about it every week. For those of you who haven't been here, your Passover moment, the moment that you surrender your life to Jesus and you accept the blood he's given you and you walk away from death and you walk away from the bondage of sin, you find life and you find forgiveness and you are on this journey. You are delivered, but he has not delivered you to abandon him. He has delivered you to abide, to stay close to him. How many of us, man, like how many times? Are you with me? How many times do we find deliverance? How many times do we see people? We have children, we have friends, even ourselves. That we find deliverance in the same spirit that calls us. It's like this moment inside of you, like that you know this week, man, I got to do this. And that same spirit that called you in that moment is the same spirit that's going to go home with you today. And that's the same spirit you got to listen to dig into the word of God. But what lots of people do, is they find forgiveness, they find grace, they find mercy, they find the word justification, and they step away from the Lord, and then the rest of their life, they find themselves needing to be delivered on levels all the time because they're not abiding or staying close to God, they're abandoning God. Here's the good news. He ain't ever going to abandon you. But family, are we journeying with him? As it says there, like, he doesn't just save us, he wants to be with us. Now, therefore, you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant. Here's the thing about a covenant versus a law. A covenant is saying this. In a covenant, you will follow the law, but guess what? There will be a sacrifice to pay for your mistakes. So a covenant is a relationship. It has law. It has sacrifice. And then in the end, you can find freedom with it. A law is just obey this. So he's making a covenant with them. It's a relationship with them. And it goes on and says this, and you shall be my treasured possessions among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. We read it this week again. We read it over the last couple weeks, that 1 Peter verse. But this is what it means. Is he saying to a nation, I'm choosing you to show the world what? Who I am. Did you catch that? The reason he chose Israel was for all the world, not just for Israel. Do you know they screwed that up? Basically, they were supposed to be, I'm going to use the word ambassador. We don't use that word. We use the word politics or politician. You know what a politician's supposed to be? This is going to shock everybody. You know what a politician's supposed to be? A representative of the people. I know, it's shocking. But you know what is just as shocking for people who aren't in a church building? That Christians are supposed to be representatives of Jesus. Like, why is it that everywhere you turn, this Jesus thing, I'll look at that. I'll watch this show. This Chosen, I'll check that out. Church. But the covenant that we have with God, there is rules, there is laws. We follow those things just like the nation of Israel. We receive blessing. The beauty for us is there's this thing called grace. It's passed over us. Jesus has forgiven us in the relationship. But your purpose and my purpose in this world is not to just to be justified. It's to walk and show the what? The world who he is. It's every room you walk in and every room I walk in, I get to represent Jesus. I get to love him with my homeless friends. I get to love him with couples that are struggling. I get to love him with couples that are writing books about how not to struggle. I get to love him with my addiction friends. I get to love him with the athletes. I get to love him with my single moms. I get to love him with my single dads. I get to love him with y'all. In every place I go into, I get to represent him. And the more I represent him, the more people what? Discover who he is. But family, I think it's pretty interesting that, like, let's look at that 1 Peter verse one more time on the screen. I'm going to read it to you. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. There is not one, like, listen to me, y'all. This is us. It's not, man, Jason. Like, we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, just like the nation of Israel was. What did he say in this? He says, I've chosen them, but all the earth is mine. The reason he chose them is for the whole world to know. The reason he's chosen you is what? For the whole world to know. The reason he's given you grace and given me grace is what? So the whole world knows. It says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possessions. That, you know, some of you in this room don't think that you deserve it. Guess what? We don't. But he still gave it to us. And some of us in the room think we don't need it. You do. God's special possession that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness is into his wonderful light. It goes on in verse 6 and says this, and you shall be to me a kingdom, a priest, a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel. So Moses came and called the elders of the people and set before them all these words that the Lord had commanded them. Verse 8, all the people answered together saying, all that the Lord has spoken we will do. And Moses reported the words of the people to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, behold, I'm coming to you in a thick cloud, and the people may hear when I speak with you and may also believe you forever. So God's going to show himself in a cloud on this mountain, and he's going to show himself in a way that people recognize this Moses, brother. Like, God speaks to him. Why would he choose Moses? We talked about this last week. I think he chooses Moses for the same reason it talks about it in Numbers and Deuteronomy, is because Moses was humble. Moses knew his need for God. Even though he was educated in the house of Pharaoh, even though he was a shepherd for 40 years, he knew without God he had nothing. Could Moses take water out of a rock? Could Moses take the Egyptian army and overwhelm it? Can Moses part a Red Sea? Can Moses bring bread down from heaven? Moses knew what his place was. Hey, family. In order for us to be his ambassador, I'm not going to use the word politician because it just weirds me out, but in order for us to be his representation in this world, the key ingredient for you and the key ingredient for me is humility. With my kids, it's that way. With young people, it's that way. With older people, it's that way. You ever have a conversation with someone that it's obvious they've made a mistake and they're unwilling to just say, oops? Humility. Where else do we see our pride? In my offenses. Remember that? We've talked about that before. When I am offended, it points out whose pride? My pride. Ask yourself the tough questions to surrender our pride to him. That's the journey of abiding in Jesus. It then goes on and says this: when Moses told the words of the people to the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow and let them wash their garments. So he's telling Moses, this is how the people get ready to see me. It's basically like, hey, you're going to prom. Don't wear jeans and a t-shirt, Jason. Jason, you're preaching. Don't. Anyway. It goes on. The Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow. Let them wash their garments and be ready for the third day. Isn't it interesting? It's the third day. What else happens after the third day? Brother Rose. For on the third day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people, and you shall set limits for the people all around, saying, take care not to go up into the mountain or to touch the edge of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall be put to death. No hand shall touch it, but if they do touch it, they shall be stoned or shot. Whether beast or man, he shall not live. When the trumpet sounds a long blast, they shall come up to the mountain. So he draws boundaries around. Like, this doesn't sound like the happy Jesus. Like, I need to point this out. This is a God who's coming down on a mountain who is this word. Hear me say it. Holy. He is holy. When Jesus comes back and he's all tatted up looking for glory and he's got his white horse, guess what we're going to say? Holy, holy, holy. That's what we're going to say. We're not going to say nice, nice, nice or cool, cool, cool or friendly, friendly, friendly. We're going to say, oof, holy, holy, holy. And God, remember what the book of Exodus and Genesis is about, is establishing who he is. He is set apart from humanity. Why? Because he is perfect. He is creator. He is not created. And when he comes down, they draw boundaries around the mountain. And Moses tells them, you can only come to this point. If you go any further, you will die. Why is God? Is it because he wants people to die? No. But he needs people to know. He's got to allow us to know that in order to come to God, there's got to be something that breaks through that boundary. Later on in the Old Testament, there's this thing called the temple. We talk about it every week in the court of Gentiles, right? It's where everyone's what? Welcome. That's right. At least we're together here. But everybody's welcome in that moment. Are you with? Like, that's the court of Gentiles. But there's another place in the temple we don't talk about very often, and it's called the Holy of Holies. And it's inside the temple. It's in the very inner courts of the temple. And inside this, the Holy of Holies is where they keep the Ark of the Covenant. Inside the Holy of Holies is where they have this huge curtain. And Josephus writes on the outside of the curtain, it depicts creation because creation is still separate from the God that created it. He holds the whole world in his hands. That's how holy he is. The brother is holy. He is set apart. He is greater than anything you think of in this world. And he is set apart. So in the Old Testament, you know what they did once a year? Someone, a high priest, had to go behind the curtain and pour blood over the mercy seat for the sins of a nation. Why? Because blood's what saves us, y'all. Not the blood of goats, though. But blood's what saves us. And every single year, this high priest would cleanse himself. He would consecrate himself. He'd get ready for the prom now. He would baptize himself in water. He would scrub his body. He would confess his sins. He would tie a rope around his feet, and he would have a bell around his waist. Every single year, the high priest would do this. And then they would sit there. They would pray. They would consecrate. And then they would walk behind the curtain. You know why they wore a bell? Because if they weren't pure enough, if they didn't consecrate themselves, if their heart wasn't in the right spot, boom, you'd hear a little ring, and then you had to pull the brother out. That's how holy God is. And in this moment in history, he is establishing the fact that the only way to cross this boundary, there has to be a sacrifice, family. The only way we will ever understand how good God is and how good Jesus is and how incredible his grace is to establish the fact is that we don't deserve to be in his presence. We don't. And that's what God is doing here. He's saying, if you come into my presence, you're going to die, but I don't even want people to touch you. They're going to throw things at you or shoot you because they can't come close to that level of disobedience. This is heavy. Hear me say this. I get it. But it's what it teaches. And it goes on and says this. So Moses went down from the mountain to the people and consecrated the people, and they washed their garments. They got clean. They got ready. And they said to the people, be ready for the third day. Do not go near a woman. Why? So basically, yeah. None of that. Why? Well, because God hates that. No, I'm just teasing. He don't. He created it. It's totally cool. You're like, I told you. No. But I want to point this out. He is doing everything he possibly can to establish. You have to get ready to meet me. And there's nothing on this earth that should stand in the way of you being in my presence. What stands in our way? What do we not want to wipe off, confess? You with me? That's what the season of Lent's about, right? When the coach says, what do I need to get rid of so I can experience the wholeness of God? On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and there was lightning and there was a thick cloud on the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast, so all the people in the camp trembled. You think they trembled because of lightning and thunder? They'd heard it. You know what they'd never heard? A trumpet come out of heaven. What? Lightning, thunder, and bam-ba-da. Woo! Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on the fire. The smoke of it went up like the smoke of a kiln. And the whole mountain trembled greatly. There was an earthquake. And as the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him in thunder. The Lord came down on the Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. So he called Moses to the bottom, called him to the top, then sent him back to the bottom again. Do you ever think Moses like, man, Lord, why do I keep going to this mountain? Because God told you to. And the Lord said to Moses, go down and warn the people, lest they break through to the Lord to look, and many of them will perish. Like, he wants Moses to say, tell them not to cross that line. I don't want any of them to be hurt. I came here to love them. I don't want to hurt them. I want to help them. Also, let the priests who come near to the Lord consecrate themselves, lest the Lord break out against them. And Moses said to the Lord, the people cannot come to the mountain Sinai, for you yourself warned us, saying, set limits around the mountain and consecrate it. And the Lord said to him, go down and come up, bring Aaron with you, but do not let the priests and the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest he break out against them. So Moses went down to the people and told them. Family, are you picturing this? This is a nation of people that are surrounding a mountain in absolute fear. Because if they cross that line, they're in trouble. Because our God is holy. There's another passage of scripture I want to read to you. It's written in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. It starts in verse 18. For you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom, and the tempest of the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of whose words made the hearer beg that no further message be spoken to them. He's talking about what? This moment. It goes on and says this, for they could not endure the order that was given. If even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to the Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festival gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven. Y'all, that's us. Enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. The blood of Abel was birthed out of revenge. It was birthed out of greed. It was birthed out of sin. It was birthed out of death. And the blood of Jesus is birthed out of purity and birthed out of redemption. See, here's the deal, y'all. Is Sinai speaks of fear and trembling, but Zion, the place that we go to be with Jesus, is love and forgiveness. Sinai is a desert. Zion is the city of the living God. Sinai, Moses could come up and meet God. But guess what? In Zion, all are welcome in the general assembly of God. We all can come to God with our prayers. We don't have to go through Moses. You don't have to go through a high priest. You have a direct connection to the creator of the universe. Sinai had people in guilt and in sin and in fear. In Zion, it was people who've been made perfect. Sinai, Moses is the mediator. In Zion, Jesus is the mediator. Sinai, there's barriers and there's boundaries. In Zion, Jesus has made the way. See, family, all throughout the Old Testament, they had to establish the fact that someone had to come.
And that someone who came is Jesus Christ, our King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, our Redeemer and Savior. Thank you, God, for Jesus. You've been hearing a message by Pastor Jason Epperson of CU Church, looking at Exodus chapter 19. If you missed a portion of today's broadcast or want to hear the series of other messages out of Exodus, stop by greatnewsradio.org and wluj.org and listen anytime under the Mark and Friends tab. Tomorrow we'll continue with our series of Shaping Your Future Self, Part 3, Holy Habits, Seeing What God Sees, with Dr. Derwin L. Gray, and then on Wednesday, Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church, so I hope you can tune in again then. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.